Welcome to the room. Welcome to the study. We're going to hopefully finish up this study tonight on gifts yielding to the edification of the believers. Let's start with 1 Corinthians 14:21. In the law, it is written, "With men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people." And yet, for all that, will they not hear me, saith the Lord. So the use of Gentile tongues, like the Corinthians, was to speak unto this people, so that God could speak to his people Israel. God's, the use of prophesying was the method God used, according to 1 Corinthians 14:3. We know that the body of Christ prophesying produced edification, and it produced three things mentioned in that verse, but the main one that interests us, that applies here, is the edification. Prophesying or professing God's word, God's newly inspired word in the Corinth case, but it applies today. Professing God's word produces edification. Acts 20, verse 32, "Now I commend you," I don't have it memorized, "but now I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up." Okay, and 1 Thessalonians 2:13, a lot of verses talk about that. Romans 10. With all that in mind, Paul said that, well, three things. Tongues are for a sign. We know that from 1 Corinthians 14:22. 1:22, Jews require a sign. That's in 1 Corinthians 1:22. And thirdly, that tongues are for them that believe not. Believe not. Okay, there we go. 1 Corinthians 14:22, tongues are for them that believe not, that are not believers yet. It's a form of evangelism to the Jews. Let's look at the verses for that. We're going to read them here instead of just announcing them. 1 Corinthians 1:22. The Bible says, "For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom." 1 Corinthians 14:22. That was 1:22. If I misread the quote, that was 1 Corinthians 1:22, and this will be 1 Corinthians 14:22. "Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe." And also, we see that when tongues were being given, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. Therefore, tongues were not for use in churches. Tongues were not to be used in the church. They weren't for believers. They were for the disbelievers, and specifically for Jewish disbelievers. They were for use outside of churches, where the disbelievers were. Well, then, at that time, what gift was to be used in the churches? Well, we read in 1 Corinthians 14:22, "But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe." Body of Christ prophecy was to be used in the churches where the believers were. Paul went on to tell of a situation that gives insight into the activities within Paul's meetings. when they would come out of the synagogues for having believed that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah, Son of God, risen from the dead, and they met together outside without regard to the synagogue. They met with Paul or Paul's representatives there. Paul's illustration shows that back then the desired results would come from the body of Christ prophecy, not from body of Christ tongues. There was a difference there, and Paul was shifting their interest, their emphasis, into prophecy, charitable prophecy, in fact, wasn't it? Prophecy, professing God's word that does good in people's lives, other people's lives. So, continuing after 14:22, this will be 1 Corinthians 14:23, 4, 5, and 6. If, therefore, the whole church be come together into one place. Now remember, we see an insight into what went on in those meetings, in Paul's meetings in the early body of Christ churches. And if therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelieved, so it was open that they could come in, will they not say that you're mad? Verse 24, but different situation now. If all prophesy and there come in one that believe not or one unlearned, he's convinced of all and he is judged of all. Verse 25, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down on his face he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. The proper use of true gifts would yield the desired results, as at Peter's Acts 2 Pentecost feast, the sermon there that Peter gave. So Paul does a summary so far, a type of a summary in verse 26, 1 Corinthians 14:26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. So there's this variety going on. Let all things be done unto edifying. There's the goal. There's what he's aiming for and wants them to aim for. So what he's saying here, you've already got, every one of you has a psalm to remind us out of the book of Psalms, or five books, however you look at it. Everyone, well, those psalms, let them be done unto edifying. And everyone hath a doctrine, let those doctrines be done unto edifying. Everyone hath a tongue, let those tongues be done unto edifying. Can you speak a tongue and edify somebody, a believer? He just talked about that in verse 22, didn't he? That speaking the word of God edifies people, not speaking in an unknown language. Well, what about if you have a revelation? That should be done unto edifying. And everyone hath an interpretation, it ends with. That should be done unto edifying each other. So that's a kind of a complex verse, but he's saying all those things you're already doing, make sure you're doing them to edify others. And here we see that Paul indicates that God had not yet completely shut down tongues, but rather he had just restrained them, restricted them a bit, and rather encouraged edifying to those in the church. And here are some of the rules. He didn't give rules for prophesying, did he? Professing God's word or reading the Bible. He gave rules to restrain the body of Christ's use of tongues for more edifying activities. Verse 27, if any man, so there's the first restriction, it's man, speak in an unknown tongue. Secondly, let it be by two, or at the most by three. There's the second rule. It's got to be no more than three waiting there to speak in tongues. Thirdly, and that by course, take turns. And then fourthly, and let one interpret. So, if there's, you know, it's understood, if there's not an interpreter, that limits the tongues right there. Though, let's look at the first one in more detail, I think. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, several scriptures seem to indicate God's order of revealing this new scripture that Paul was to write down. It was to reveal these scriptures to the apostles first. In the body of Christ, it would be to Paul first. And then to the body of Christ prophets, whose job it was to acknowledge that that was from God. Since there's no gospel of God, there was gospel of God, but there's not that type of test for the mystery, these mystery teachings that Christ was revealing to Paul. Christ revealed it also to the body of Christ prophets. They were necessary to verify that what Paul taught was from God. And then it's taught to the men of the church, and then to the women of the church, and then to the younger women and the children. So if a woman began speaking in tongues, she would immediately be suspect, since the newly revealed scripture came to the men before it came to the women. And, you know, it says, women, if you want to learn these scriptures or learn anything, speak to your husband. Ask your husband at home. So that was to induce, I don't know if it was to induce, but it would induce communication in the families about these scriptures that Paul was preaching in the meetings. So he goes on, this is the second, we're going to look at the second of those four rules. And there are other rules that Paul mentions in the chapter, but we'll look at these four. Secondly, let it be by two or at the most by three. Well, that's pretty self-explanatory. There must not be a crowd of people all tongue-talking at once. And not even a crowd of people waiting in line to tongue-talk. By two or three, in other words, no more than three. So, thirdly, the third rule, and that by course. Even with only three people to tongue talk, they must wait into, you know, take turns. Time about's fair play. Well, they had to wait their turn. Fourthly, and let one interpret. Let one of the tongue talkers interpret. All tongue talking must be interpreted for understandability. If it's not understandable, it has no place in being able to edify those in the church. 1 Corinthians 14:28. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Well, that's no different than the ladies, is it? If there's no interpreter, that's the end of the line of that part of the revelation. I mean, it doesn't get shared because it would be a different language, not understandable unless there's an interpreter. Read, okay, we want to look for God's guidelines in these next verses that cause the body of Christ prophecies to achieve their purpose of edification. Let's look at, we'll start in verse 29, 1 Corinthians 14:29. Let the prophets speak. So he's shifting now from the tongues and tongue talkers to the prophets, those body of Christ prophets. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. The other what? He's not talking about everybody in the world. He's talking about prophets, body of Christ prophets. Two or three speak, and let the other prophets that are in the group judge, determine, yes, this is from God. This is Paul's speaking the truth here. Verse 30, if anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first what? First prophet, we're talking about prophets, body of Christ prophets, let the first hold his peace. And there's another indicator that the spiritual gifts were for the obtaining and documenting of the newly revealed Word of God. We've got it in our hands, in the Bible. When we read the Bible, read Paul's letters. By the way, the word revealed means just that. It means revealed. It doesn't mean imagined, thought up. It doesn't mean contrived. It means revealed. God revealed it. It wasn't known before, and he made it known. That was the function of the body of Christ prophets, to reveal all mysteries. And remember 1 Corinthians 13:2, those with the gift of prophecy were enabled to know all prophecies. All mysteries, isn't it? Let me look that up. I goofed that one up. Let me make sure we've got it right now. 13:2. And though I have the gift of prophecy, so we're talking about those body of Christ prophets that have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, not prophecies, mysteries, okay, and all knowledge. So that was their empowerment, their ability from God to be able to assess whether Paul is speaking something that's scripture from God or just words of wisdom, you know, something that's not to be recorded in scripture. So, notice verse 31, let me read it here. For you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. Well, notice it does say you may all prophesy one by one. It doesn't say you can all prophesy one by one. It says you may. Well, in other words, it's giving permission to those that prophesy, profess God's word, and determine what, or I should not determine, I should say scriptural word is acknowledge what is being revealed from God. They can do so one by one. But it's not saying you can do, you can all prophesy. It's not saying enabling people other than the prophets, body of Christ prophets, it's not enabling them to prophesy. They already have that gift, that function. Well, that means that all the body of Christ prophets may speak one by one. Again, Paul reminded them that the purpose of their prophesying was, or professing God's word in today's meetings, was edification. That's the purpose. He said that all may learn. Let's go to verse 32. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. In 1 Corinthians 14:32, Paul wrote to remind the believers in his meeting that, or his meetings in various places, that the meetings will be controlled and orderly. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, verse 33, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. The God of peace cannot author confusion. Can't in any of the churches of the saints. So here again, Paul brings up one of the results of the order of the revelation of the newly inspired scriptures. Let your women, this is verse 34, let your women keep silence in the churches. Just like it says, let your men that speak in tongues keep silence if there's no interpreter. So there's nothing wrong with that. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it's not permitted for them, permitted unto them to speak. And remember, the context here is speaking in tongues. So it's not permitted for them to speak in tongues. Why? Because the revelation comes from Christ to Paul, to the body of Christ, prophets to acknowledge, and then to the men, and then to the women. If they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. For it's a shame for women to speak in the church. They don't have anything to say until they find out what the newly inspired scriptures are coming from their husbands or from the men that have been receivers of the newly revealed scriptures. Next, Paul gives some vital details about the prophets' function, body of Christ prophets' function in the giving of the newly inspired scriptures. He says in verse 33, what? Came the word of God out of you? In other words, did you author it? Are you the source of these scriptures? Well, of course not. Or came it unto you only? Do you think that you're the one and only one that gets it? No, the body of Christ prophets. There were plural prophets. And Paul got it. These words to be written as the word of God. It's the word of God. God is the author. God is the one with the authority, not the word of the prophets. They are acknowledgers of it. The scripture did not originate with the body of Christ prophets. It was revealed to them by God. Not only that, but it did not come only to one person, but to several people in a group in the body of Christ called the prophets. So let's go on to verse 37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge, here's what they do, they acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. There, in the Bible, in plain English, is the job description of the body of Christ prophets. He's to acknowledge that the things Paul wrote were the commandments of the Lord, not the commandments of what to do or commandments of what not to do, but the commandments of the Lord as to what Paul was to write. Preach the word, but don't force it on those that don't want to. You know, if they want to ignore it, the next verse 38 says, if any man will be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Let him continue to ignore it. You can't force them to hear it. You can preach it. You can tell them. That's your duty, is to spread the word. And here, Paul's summary is in, he summarizes 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, these three chapters he's been in here, in verse 39, he says, "Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak in tongues, speak with tongues." So, one is a positive and one is a negative. In terms of a negative, it's not a negative, but it's the prophesying is what he's aiming toward. Covet to prophesy. That's the goal. And he's got the tongues in a negative sense. He says, forbid not to speak with tongues. In other words, it's not something to go after, but don't rule it out yet. Don't forbid that they speak with tongues. So it was on the way out, but not gone yet, in other words. And after three chapters about spiritual gifts and growing in the body of Christ, Paul says, covet to prophesy. He doesn't say, covet earnestly the best gifts. He doesn't say that here. After his progression that he went through in these three chapters, he says, covet to prophesy or to profess God's word. Paul had spent these chapters showing them what had become the best gifts, the gifts of edifying by prophecy. Professing God's newly inspired scripture. That was something that they understood the gravity of it, that it was a momentous thing, that new scripture was being added to the body of scriptures, the canon. Here again, we see that Paul indicates that by that time, God had not yet completely shut down tongues, but rather that he had restrained them, restricted them to encourage the edifying those in the church. Verse 40, let all things be done decently and in order. Paul's concluding statement reminded them that he just gave them the order for Paul's meetings. In Paul's Acts 19 epistle of 1 Corinthians that we've been looking in, written in Acts 19, he emphasized the restrained use of tongues while switching emphasis to speaking the truth in love, charitably prophesying or professing God's word, God's newly inspired word in particular, and doing so to the body of Christ Church. After Paul's 1 Corinthians and after the end of Acts, you can't find any more use of tongues to speak the wonderful works of God to disbelieving Jews. And that's the purpose of tongues, is they were speaking God's wonderful works. I think that's Acts 2:11, I think it is. Paul and his dispensing of instructions was heeded to switch from tongues to edifying in charity. And that was that's the end of this study. If there are corrections or additions or acknowledgments, whatever, bring them up.